All right, I'm going to share for a little bit here. I would like to share out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I'll start in verse 11 to 13. I'll just pray while returning there. Lord, I just pray for this time together, Lord, and I just pray that you bring clarity to your word. I bring an anointing, and I pray that we would learn from you, build our faith, increase our faith, Lord. And I pray that we would hear what you want us to hear and need to hear today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, verse 11. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So I want to focus on Paul's exhorting them and encouraging them here to abound in love. And that's what my theme is and topic is about, abounding in love to one another. And it's interesting, in verse 13, it says, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father. Sometimes when we think of being blameless and being holy, often, like, what do you think of when you think of that? I don't, you know, you can just ponder that in your hearts, but when I think of, okay, holiness, I think of, okay, I'm not going to think impure thoughts in my mind or in my heart. And, you know, you guys could think of some very different things about what holiness is, but it's not the first thing that comes to my mind about being holy is abounding in love. But genuine holiness is increasing in love for one another. And the way God establishes us unblameable in holiness is by filling our hearts with his love. So when we think of today, I'd like a new understanding of being righteous. Being righteous is being filled with love. And that's the theme and the topic here this morning. And so the Lord is exhorting and encouraging us to abound in love for him, and in love for one another, in love for him, and in love for our enemies, in love for our spouses, in love for our brothers and sisters. We want to abound, we want to overflow and increase, not be content with where we're at right now in our level of love, because there is more love to be had. And from the day, from today up until the day we die, we can increase in love. And let's look at something here. It says here, Paul could speak about love because he says at the end of verse 12, I'd like you to abound. I want you to abound in love just as we do to you. So Paul was abounding in love for the Thessalonians. And let's look at, what does that look like for him to abound in love? We can see that in chapter 2, we can see that in verse 7, we were gentle among you, just as nursing mother cherishes her own children. So abounding in love is like a mother towards her child, being gentle and caring. Is that the type of love we have for our brothers and sisters, for one another, that we're like a nursing mother caring for their child? We can see how he had that tender heart and compassion. And I'll just keep reading. He says, so affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but our own lives, because you had become dear to us. He had a longing for them, for their salvation. He had a longing to see them. He had a longing to be with them. And And that longing resulted in him laying down his life for them. And that is really the definition, the true definition of love, is laying down one's life. So we see in verse 17, he says, "But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, but not in heart, endeavor more eagerly to see you face your face with great desire." So he had such an affection for the church there. Even though they didn't see them, they had to depart for a time. They were in his heart. Do we have that affection for one another? That, you know, we're pondering, we're thinking about each other throughout the day, lifting each other up in prayer, longing to see one another. You know, I think I know in my life, there is a lot of growth yet to take place in the area of abounding in love. And, you know, he wanted to be with them. He says he longed to see their face. Do we have a desire to fellowship with one another, to be together? We can see that he wanted to know what was going on in their life and how their faith was doing. We can see in chapter 3, verse 5, he said, "For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter attempted you and our labor might be in vain." He wanted to know how they're doing. You know, that's the type of compassion and care I want for others. You know, I want to have that care so that I'll know, like, how is this brother or sister doing with the Lord, and checking in and being faithful to have care and concern for the body. You know, he was concerned for their well-being. You know, it says, "For now we live," in verse 8, "if you stand fast in the Lord." That's how important it was that they would be standing fast. They cared so much that they were being faithful and that they were not stumbling and they were not, their faith wasn't being shaken because of the persecutions they were going through. He says in chapter 3, right in verse 2 there, I'll read from verse 1. "Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to encourage you concerning the faith." You know, it said that Satan had hindered him from being there. It could have been the persecutions that were so great there. And, you know, we can read in Acts, I won't read it, but in Acts 17, we saw that when Paul was there preaching the gospel, like, the Jews that were unbelieving were so jealous that they chased him out of there, basically. And there was a tumult going on, and there was, they went and raided Jason's house and seized him. And then Paul went to, I think, Berea, and then they followed him there and created a disruption there. So, you know, the devil was working to try and disrupt his work there with the Thessalonians and was hindering him from getting there. So he sent Timothy there because he cared so much for them. He wanted to know how they were doing. And then he wanted them to encourage them and build their faith. And then when Timothy brought back report, it says, but in verse 6, "But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith." So he was so concerned that they were doing well, that their faith wasn't failing, and sending Timothy to them. And then when hearing that they were doing well and that, you know, that he had good news of their faith and their love, it so greatly encouraged him. So you can see how that heart that Paul had. And, you know, we can see that also in 1 Corinthians 11, or I think it's 1 Corinthians 11, maybe 2 Corinthians, but how his great concern daily came upon him for the church, how he was burdened every day for the church. He was, you know, amongst all the other things he was going through, his great concern for the church. So what's encouraging is that you see how Paul had such a love for the church. And Paul is a man just like us. You know, he was a human being, but he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And God can do that in us. He can cause us to abound in love. And that's the thing I wanted to share next, is that abounding in love is a gift of the Lord. You know, we might think, how in the world can that be? How can that happen in my life? Well, I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, that God is able to make you abound. Do you see that, how he prayed that in verse 12 there, 1 Thessalonians 3:12? May the Lord make you increase and abound in love. The Lord can do that in our hearts. The Lord is able to make us abound in love. Do you have faith that can happen in your life? 100% that can happen in your life. That he can cause you to increase and abound in love, because that's his will for you. That's it's a gift. Love is a gift, and it's also a command. He commands us to love, but he says he will cause it to take place in our life. Let's look at that. Just a few verses here. Jeremiah 31:31. Okay, Jeremiah 31:31. This is about the new covenant. That's the covenant we're in. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant, which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Let's look at Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. So he's gonna write that command upon our hearts. That's the new covenant. It's not the tablet of stone on the wall or in some sacred place. It's the tablet written on the fleshly tablets of our heart. That's the commands. That's where the commands are written. So Deuteronomy 30. In verse 6, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. Another version says, he's going to circumcise our hearts so that we will love him with all our heart. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. He's going to do that work. He's going to circumcise our heart, an inward work, so that we will love him. That's a work of God. Ezekiel 36, verse 27. I'll start in verse 25, actually. Ezekiel 36, 25. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you. You shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Okay, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in verse 27. I'll put my spirit within you. And this is the important part here. And cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgments and do them. Thank you, Lord, that he's going to put his spirit within us. That he has done that for those who believe, to cause us to walk in his statutes. That's to cause us. That's the important part. May the Lord make you and cause you to increase and abound in love. The Lord's going to cause us. He's going to take that heart of stone. You know, that heart of stone, the one we were born with. We were all born with a heart of stone, brothers and sisters. And he's going to take that heart and give us a heart of flesh. And cause us to walk in his ways. And you know what happens when, verse 31, then you will remember your evil ways. When he does that, then we're going to look back when we had that heart of stone. And we're going to look back upon our life at that point, and it's going to cause us to grieve and to loathe ourselves, to loathe our past life. You will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe yourselves in your own sight. Have you ever looked back at your old life before you were born again and loathed those wicked ways? Right? That's what it says is going to happen. And even so, even when we have a new heart, if we stumble, we have an advocate, but if we stumble, we're going to grieve. And we're going to loathe that flesh nature. We're going to loathe it. So the Lord is, in the new covenant, the Lord does a work. You know what David says in Psalm 40, Psalm 40, verse 8, David says, I delight to do your will. I delight to do your will. You know, that's encouraging. Do you delight to do his will? Now, David delighted to do it, and he did it most of the time. But there were times when he didn't do the Lord's will. Now, you know what's interesting? That it says in Hebrews 10, verse 7. And now, this is about Jesus Christ. And this is the difference between the old covenant and the new. It's quoting that exact passage. But about Jesus, it says, behold, I have come to do your will. It was not just about delighting, but it's actually in the new covenant, he gives the power to do. And so that's the hope in, of the gospel, of the new covenant, that it's not just, oh, I want to do what's right, but I can't do it. It's now, I want to do what's right, and I can do it. In Jesus' name, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Right? So there's the difference between the old and the new covenant, not just delighting, but actually being able to do. And that's a work of God, as we can see in Philippians, in chapter 2, it says here, Philippians 2, verse 12 and 13, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. You know, it's God that is going to work. He works in us to even give us the desire to do what's right and to do what's right, right? So both. The desire and the power. That's how it says it in one version. The desire and the power and the ability to do what's right, to will and to do. There's the complete package of the old and the new. And this is the new covenant doing. So now you might say, well, it's impossible. I can't do it. Do you believe God can do it? If we say, I can't do it, that's not faith. God is able to do it. So we see how now that love is a gift. God is gonna accomplish that in our life. And we also see that love is a command, okay? It's a command. Let's look at that command in the First Thessalonians again. Going back there. It says here, now in verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1, finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God, for you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. Now he's talking about you need to obey the commandment, and you know what commandment that we gave you. So Paul gave them certain commandments to live by. And even Jesus gave commandments in the New Testament to live by. And at the end of Matthew, he says, go, you know, throughout the world and teach them everything I've commanded you to do. And so we're supposed to teach others the commandments, what Jesus commanded. And so there's a command to love. And we see that also in chapter 4, verse 9, Concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Okay, you're taught by God. That's the command, to love one another. And indeed, you do so toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. So they had love. Even though they had love, they weren't supposed to be content with it. They loved the brothers in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Are we content with the love we have? Or are we desiring and eagerly wanting to increase more and more love for one another? That's the command. We should be increasing more and more in that love. Let's not be stagnant in our love, but let's long to increase in our love for one another and our love for God. Okay, starts with the love for God and then it pours out towards one another. So love is a command, and we see that Jesus gave that command in John 13:34. It says, Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, right? That you would love one another as I have loved. And that's the new part. That's the newness of the command, that we would love as Jesus loved. You know, let's take a very quick look at here. What did Jesus's love look like? I can show you here in John 10, verse 17. We're supposed to love as Jesus loved, right? That's the new command. Then we say, well, how did Jesus love? John 10, 17. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life. I lay down my life. That's how Jesus loved. And we see in John 15, in No greater love. Oh yeah, verse 13. John 15, 13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. Jesus laid down his life. Jesus died. While he was living, he laid down his life for his disciples and for others. And when he died, he picked up the cross and he laid down his life. And we're supposed to love as he loved. That means sacrifice. That means dying to our will. That means dying to ourselves, laying down our life, right? Laying down our lives and picking up our cross. That's love. No greater love has anyone than to pick up your cross and die to yourself. An interesting point I want to make here. Do you know what? I heard an interesting thing about Satanism, okay? Do you know what all of the satanic Bible, what the greatest command is, or what the sum of the satanic Bible is? The satanic Bible says this: all the laws is that you should basically, let me see, I have it written down here actually. Okay, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. That's what the satanic Bible says. Do what thou wilt. Do what you want. That's what Satan says, okay? You want to follow, and we don't sometimes take it seriously, that when we do our own will, we're doing Satan's will. Do what thou wilt. That's what the author of the satanic Bible says. And so that's why when Saul only obeyed 99% and kept a few sheep for himself and so on, and Samuel went to him and said, you know what, sacrifice and offering, that's not what the Lord desires, right? He says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. You know what rebellion is? Just doing what you want. That's what rebellion is. That's witchcraft. That's Satanism. So that now love is the opposite of that. Love is doing not what you want, but pleasing the Lord and pleasing others and being a living sacrifice. That's what love is. Love, the love of God, is the complete opposite of the satanic laws. Okay, so rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Children, remember that. When you're rebellious and when you do what you want, you know, us adults need to remember that too. When we want to just speak something hurtful, you know, say the last word to our spouse and win an argument, that's obeying the devil. So those are strong words. Yeah, I know, but I want to make a point that rebellion is serious, and not dying to ourselves is very serious. So just to finish off here, okay? Let's finish off with some encouragement here. How can we abound in love? How can we do it? Romans 5, verse 5, okay? Romans 5, 5. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Or another version says, we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Okay, how are we going to grow in love? I think that summarizes the whole first part about love is a gift. It's a promise of God to accomplish in us. He's going to pour out his love in our hearts through the power of his Holy Spirit. Okay. And then the other way, how are we going to grow in love? Just look at this, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds towards one another. Do you see how they were now starting, their love was starting to abound? They received the exhortation. Their faith was growing exceedingly, and they were abounding in love. How are we going to love more? Let our faith increase, receive the word of God, believe the word of God. Just as it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 in verse 13, it says and at the end, the word of God, which effectively works in you who believe. That is so important. The word of God effectively works in us who believe. So if you say, well, God doesn't work for me, or the Bible doesn't work for me, Christianity doesn't work for me, it's not that it doesn't work. It works. The Bible works in every person who believes. That means that you're not believing. It's not that his hand is too short that it can't save. Yes, his hand can save anyone who humbles himself and calls on the name of the Lord and believes. That if we believe the word, it will work and produce fruit in us. It says, you don't have to turn there, but it says in Colossians that that the gospel, it's bringing forth fruit among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. The day you hear the word of God and believe the grace of God in truth, the day you hear and believe in truth, that's the day it starts producing fruit in you. So seek out the truth. Seek out to know the grace of God. Seek out to know the amount, how much God loves you and how much he wants us to turn from our sin to believe in him. How he wants to pour out his love and cause us to abound in love for one another. Amen. I'll just pray. Lord, I just pray that we would increase and abound in love. Lord, do your work in us. Thank you that you promised to accomplish that in us. You promised to do that through the power of your Holy Spirit, writing your laws in our heart. And give us a desire to do your will, to abound in love, which is being a living sacrifice and laying down our own will for others and for you. In Jesus' name, amen.